This is an iHeart podcast.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Tuesday. A Tuesday that is getting expensive out here. I will explain what's going on in the Kelly household in a little while, but here's what we have on tap for tonight. I'm going to do a bunch of email roundup because I've been so far behind, but we're going to begin and we're going to actually discuss this COVID, football, vaccinations, not vaccinations. How should you respond to these things? We're going to talk about that. We're going to have a hard conversation about that here in just a few. We're going to talk about the headline from the Wall Street Journal. Your coworkers are less ambitious and bosses have to adjust. We're going to talk about fentanyl, the GOP, Mitch McConnell. Yes, I'm going to address this whole speaker thing very, very briefly. Give me about 10 minutes and I'll get to why I actually don't care about that all that much. But we have all that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. But I want to shut up, Chris. I want to begin here. Last night, something happened in a football game, an NFL football game. I don't watch the NFL. Maybe you do. This is the Buffalo Bills. Maybe they're your team. Bills, Bengals. I mean, shoot, maybe the Bengals are your team. It's my old man's team, so who knows? But there was an incident in the game. A young man who was playing made a tackle. He got up, took a step, fell over backwards, flat on his back. I didn't know about it because I wasn't watching. My sister texted me during the game because someone had texted her. She said, oh my gosh, you're paying attention. What's happening? So I got online and I saw the video highlights. He had to be resuscitated on the field. As of last night, he's in critical condition, some sort of heart issue. And I'm actually not going to address that specifically, what he's going through, anything like that, because I don't know. I'm not in the emergency room. I'm not administering the tests. I don't know the family history. I don't know. I'm not going to address that for a bunch of different reasons. Another reason I'm not going to address that is that young man's family right now, they're praying that he lives to see another day, and I'm just not going to get involved in all that. So let's take that for a moment and set that aside. Here's what I am going to address. And I very, very, very much am going to address this in a direct way. All right? I'm going to address the response you've seen about it today and why you've seen that kind of response today. Because here's what has happened. You see a young, healthy NFL player. You see him go down in the middle of a game in a way that you haven't really seen before. It's not that athletes have never gone down with heart issues. It happens, but it seems to be happening a lot more. And then you saw it happening in a big game, and it was a lot. And so here's what there's been a lot of today, a lot of, and maybe you've done this. There's been a lot of this from unvaccinated people. There's been a lot of, look at that. Look at the COVID vaccine. Look what the vaccine did today. Up, vax injured, vaccine injury, vaccine. You've seen a lot of that today. And in response to a lot of that, you've seen a ton of this, a ton of this. And this is going to be, no matter what your thoughts are on any of this, this is going to be a life lesson for all of us. You, me, all of us. In response to that today, you've seen so much of this. You anti-vax people are monsters. You unvaccinated people are monsters. You guys are so cold. You guys are jerks. You guys are monsters. Okay. I'm going to go through just a couple headlines here. They're not from today. These are all older. Just keep in mind, it's a three-hour show. It took us like 5 minutes to come up with these headlines. I could do this for all 3 hours. This is the miniature version. Okay, unvaccinated 28-year-old in denial of COVID diagnosis dies after ripping off oxygen mask. Unvaccinated Americans up to 8 times more likely to die from COVID-19. First Omicron death in the U.S. reinfection in unvaccinated man who previously had COVID-19. Protect yourself, woman's pleas after the husband dies from COVID. Get vaccinated. Region 2 woman, 86, dies from COVID. Says right there in the article under this, the unvaccinated 86-year-old woman. Karen Brady claims unvaccinated should face their own personal lockdown. Unvaccinated hospital patients in Illinois should pay for their COVID-19 care. Victoria AMA says COVID deniers and anti-vaxxers should opt out of the public health system. Unvaccinated Czech folk singer dies of COVID-19. Unvaccinated have become a lethal liability we can ill afford. Those who refuse to be, this is Piers Morgan, those who refuse to be vaccinated with no medical reason not to should refuse NHS care if they catch COVID. I'm hearing anti-vaxxers are taking up ICU beds. Vaccinated America has had enough. That's courtesy of The Atlantic. So on and so on and so on. Headline after headline after headline after headline after headline. The unvaccinated. Unvaccinated dies. Look at this unvaccinated. He dies. He died. He was unvaccinated. The unvaxxed. The unvaxxed. And not only were the headlines printed, not only were the headlines written and headlines printed, the headlines were shared over and over and over and over and over again. Maybe someone right now listening to the sound of my voice did it. Maybe you got on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Unvaccinated person dies, and you posted a link to the article. Get vaxxed now, guys. Don't be stupid. Maybe you did it. I watched over and over and over and over again as the propaganda campaign seeped in and as people became more fearful. I watched people become cold-hearted ghouls when it came to that, quote, vaccine, which we now know it's not even that. It's a therapeutic. And so what I'm saying is not actually about last night. I'm not commenting on that. I'm not worried about that. What I'm saying is this. This is a lesson for you and a lesson for me and one I need to take to heart. Society always, always, always seeks a balance. And when there is any kind of a movement of any kind, a good movement, evil movement, weird movement, doesn't matter what kind of it is, any kind of a societal movement out there, there will be a response to that movement. There will be. It's inevitable because society seeks a balance. You can use whatever term you want to use for that. The pendulum swings the other way. Whatever word you want to use for it. Society seeks a balance. So I've got news for you. If you were one of those people out there on your Twitter account, look at this headline, unvaxxed, dead, get vaxxed for your family. And you're angry today because the quote unvaccinated are pointing at a football player who got hurt and you say, hey, they're cold. That's heartless. That's mean. You know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe it is cold. Maybe it is heartless. Maybe it's mean. Maybe it's uncalled for. I'm not saying you're wrong about those things, but I am saying this. You know who you should blame? The man in the mirror. You did this. You created a society where the unvaxxed were against the vax. It never should have been that way, by the way. It should have been just a personal choice. I don't give a crap what you did, whether you did it, didn't do it. Doesn't matter to me. I never cared until everyone started judging me and coming at me and it became a us versus them thing. We should never have done that. It should have been a personal choice. Personal health is a personal choice, especially because we know the vaccine doesn't stop the spread. So there's no reason at all to care whether you're the person right beside you is vaccinated or not. It doesn't matter. But instead, people made it a competition. Instead, people made it something they lorded over their fellow man. Oh, unvaccinated? You can't eat here. I'm sure you remember New York City. You couldn't eat in a restaurant without showing electronic proof that you had been vaccinated. And now you're mad because people are making the death of a Buffalo Bill, or not death, sorry about that, the injury of a Buffalo Bills player, you're mad that they're making it about the vaccine or not the vaccine? You did this. You did this. We always keep in mind, and I have to keep this in mind too, always keep in mind, whether you're left, right, communist, Republican, Democrat, wherever you are, the rules you're playing by, they will be used on you. What's that saying as old as time? Live by the sword, die by the sword. It applies very much. If you were one of those, another unvaxxed died. Ha, ha, ha. Stupid idiot. Got what he deserved. I remember when Herman Cain died of COVID. I remember communist after communist after communist laughing and yelling. Ha, ha, ha. Unvaxxed idiot. Deserved it. Saw it coming. Now the same people out there today, oh, stop being a meanie McMean face. You decided the rules. Now you have a society that's more vicious and heartless and cold than it was before. And you know who did that? You did. All right. We're done with that for now because there's way too much else to get to. We're actually going to talk about fentanyl and the economy. Your job. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
Disney, Tyson's Food, and even Fox News. The bottom line, we're going to protect vaccinated workers from unvaccinated coworkers. We're going to reduce the spread of COVID-19 by increasing the share of the workforce.
Pitting one American citizen against another American citizen based on their personal medical choices over and over and over and over again.
Disney, you've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us.
Freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID.
Over and over and over again, over and over and over again, coming at one group of Americans, pitting them a group against another group of Americans, and now you're surprised you live in a cold, heartless society where that's coming back your way?
This is being called a pandemic among the unvaccinated.
This is becoming a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
A pandemic of the unvaccinated.
This is an epidemic that's occurring in the unvaccinated.
We're seeing a pandemic among the unvaccinated.
So this is becoming a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
The Centers for Disease Control says unvaccinated Americans are...
Yeah, you get the idea. I don't have to play the whole thing. There's a cost. When you set these rules out there, there's a cost. Look, this is what happens when fear takes hold of you. Fear. Remember, fear. Fear is actually what makes men monsters. When you think about the historical monsters we talk about all the time, the Stalins, the Maos, the Hitlers, the so on and so forth, you know what really unites all of them? They weren't strong men. You know what unites all of them? They were all paranoid nutcases. Stalin wasn't going to sleep peacefully in his bed every night. Man, it sure is nice to be head of the old Soviet Union. Not a care in the world. Stalin was worried about killing everybody because he thought he would be taken out at any possible moment. Mao, exact same thing. That's why he started the Cultural Revolution in China. Hitler was so paranoid and drugged out of his mind, he was hardly even there by the time he did the world a favor and shot himself in the head. Over and over and over again, it is fear that turns people into monsters. And fear turned COVID, or fear of COVID turned so many Americans into monsters. And now they wake up today and they don't want that to be remembered. No one wants that to be remembered, but people do remember, especially the people you demonized over and over and over and over again. Now, this is what we got now. This is what we got now. You know what else we have now? A society of freaking nutballs. Unprecedented New York flood of fentanyl causing heartbreaking loss. And This is something as a parent that scares me. I'm not going to spend a long time on this because it's a little, it's not a little thing. It's not something I want to spend a lot of time on. But as a parent, this scares me because they're putting this crap into everything. And I remember when I was a kid, you could walk into a party. Now, we were in Montana, so the people weren't out there going crazy. But you walk into a party and somebody's puffing on a joint or something like that in the corner. Maybe you drift over there and take a little rip off that with him. Kids, don't do that today. It might be the last breath you ever take these days. And another thing that's so nuts is you see this fentanyl destroying these areas. It's way more than New York City. Fentanyl is destroying the Rust Belt towns that have been wiped out. People are dying in droves in there. And people refuse to make a connection between fentanyl and the border that Joe Biden has intentionally opened. You'll hear people all the time talk about how compassionate they are with immigration, and we just need to be nice to everybody. And then in the next breath, they'll complain about people dying of fentanyl. How do you think it's getting here? It's getting here right over the southern border. That's simply a fact. All right. Before we get to another some more reasons why you should move, we're going to do a little PSA here. And yes, you know what? Actually, I should have probably opened the show with this. I'm just so bored with it. I'm going to tell you here in just a second why I actually didn't open the show with the speakership and Kevin McCarthy. And I'm going to explain that to you, and then we'll get to your coworkers, the economy, what's coming, these kinds of things. Before we get to that, make sure, as we talked about last night, that you are more aware of your surroundings. New York City, machete attack, Times Square, crime rampant all over the place. George Soros, DAs all over the place. Nobody's coming to stop it. So you make sure you're protected personally. Make sure you personally can stop a bad man from hurting you. All right? Go to hero2020.com. Get yourself a hero gun and a hero arrow. Hero gun's a little bigger. It shoots pepper balls. Hero arrow shoots a double barrel blast of this pepper gel. Non-lethal, so there are no excuses. You don't need a concealed carry permit. It will stop a bad man and let the person you love the most see another day. Get one for your daughter, your son, your wife, your husband. Hero2020.com, code Jesse, gets you a special discount, all right? State restrictions may apply. Now, before we get to all that, before we get to you moving, before we get to your coworkers, before actually I even address the speakership thing, I'll get to that here in just 10 minutes. I want to get to something else we have to address. Big wind turbines are taking shape off the shores of New Jersey. Daniel Turner, our resident power expert, energy expert, he's going to join us. I'm going to ask him some very pointed questions about wind energy. Does this stuff work? Is New Jersey scot-free? Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I cannot wait. I'm so unreasonably excited to read this headline to Daniel. Joining me now, our resident energy expert that we have on the show to make us smarter, Daniel Turner with Power of the Future. Daniel, I have a headline for you. I'm so excited. The headline is: giant offshore wind turbines take shape as New Jersey turns on a major manufacturing plant. Isn't that so exciting, Daniel?
Well, let's see if they actually work. You know, I haven't seen wind turbines work successfully anywhere in the world. So if New Jersey's going to be the first one, I mean, heck, Germany's been doing it for 20 years and they can't get them to work. So, you know, Jersey's the leader in many things, many, many things like culture, like diction. So maybe Jersey will lead when it comes to wind turbines, too.
Tell me about wind turbines. All right, nationally, tell me about wind turbines. Are they working? Are they successful? Are they a disaster? What are they?
They are a good intermediary. Every now and then, oh, shucks, this is a good backup to have, or you need a good backup to have it. They are not reliable. And the reason why they're not reliable is no knock on them, but they're not reliable because the wind is not reliable. If anyone in America right now, Jesse, can predict to you tomorrow what the wind will be, that guy would be worth all the money in the world, right? He can assume, you know, weather patterns, time of year, temperature, but no one knows what the wind can be. So how are we building an entire electric grid off of a variable? And that's all that is. It's a variable. And just like with everything else in the world, whether it's your quarterback, whether it's your stock picks, everything else in your marriage, you eliminate variables, right? You go with what you know and what you know works. And electricity, because of the way currents work, electricity needs something that works all the darn time and can't be reliant on weather.
Daniel, I have a really, really stupid question, and you're going to laugh at me on the air. The whole audience is going to laugh, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Please.
Can't you store energy? So if it's like the wind's just blowing one day, and I mean absolutely blowing out there one day, if it's blowing, can't you store up that energy and use it tomorrow?
We are trying to build that technology, and people like Elon Musk have spent tens of billions of dollars trying to do it. Right now, all of the stored energy in these battery facilities that we're building, and you hear about them, and I think it's in Nevada or Utah, there are 10 football fields and they're all batteries. We have enough storage for about 9 or 10 seconds of electricity in America. And the reason why is very, very simple. Think of how much energy is sucked out of the electric system with big machinery. Right, with things like your HVAC system, not your coffee maker or your toaster, but heck, we just finished the Christmas season. How many of you replaced the little AAA batteries on the wreath that your wife hung on the front door, and it didn't last the Christmas season? And those are 11 little tiny lights that went on for a couple hours at night, and those batteries didn't survive, right? How many of you bought remote control cars for your kids that you're already replacing the batteries? Right, things that suck out a lot of energy, which are things that are perpetual motion, like you know, cars, electric things like that. We don't have the technology yet. Now we may one day. I'm holding out hope. We may, but boy, we don't have it right now. That's for sure.
Okay, sorry, I don't mean to belabor a nerdy point, but you said 10 football fields of batteries. Daniel, where do we get these batteries? What material is being used for these batteries?
They are all made from all organic cotton that's grown in. Of course. Well, that's the other joke about wind turbines, right? Wind turbines, when those puppies have to get anchored into the ground, because you got to anchor them because they will go airborne, they need around 30 cement trucks worth of cement for each one. You know, that's around 30,000 tons of cement. How do we make cement? We burn coal, right? They have about 80 tons of metal rebar, because as anyone who knows construction knows, you don't just pour cement, you need rebar. How do we make metal rebar? We burn coal. We burn more coal to anchor a wind turbine to produce electricity than if we just burnt the coal directly to make electricity. So it's just this big lie that we're going to get rid of coal or get rid of oil or gas to go green, because all those things are made from oil, gas, and coal.
Speaking with my friend Daniel Turner, energy expert with Power the Future. Okay, Daniel, now tell me about natural gas. How plentiful is it? Do we have endless amounts here? Who's embracing it? Who's not embracing it?
The fascinating thing about natural gas, and this has changed within my lifetime, and I'm in my mid-40s, in case your audience is curious, is that I was always told as a little kid that we had peak oil coming in 2000, and with peak oil comes peak gas, right? We were running out of it. This was stuff was absolutely limited. Now it seems that the more we look for it, the more we find it. Texas is the nation's leading natural gas producer. Pennsylvania is second. Sadly, Pennsylvania just elected a whole crop of politicians who despise the fossil fuel industry, fracking. They lied about it on the campaign trail. Well, John Fetterman didn't know what he was doing on the campaign trail, so I'll cut him some slack. Natural gas is absolutely vital to our economy, to our electric grid, to our home heating system as well. And America has so much of it. We have so much of it, we don't even know how much we have, because the largest formations right now are completely untapped. Monterey, California has probably the largest natural gas formation, but you can't even drill an exploratory well because it's California.
Oh, All right, Daniel, the New York Times says short people are better for the environment. I'm in deep trouble. So are you, buddy. People may not know Daniel's tall.
I am 6'3". I know I'm still much shorter than you are. See, I got to tell you, I saw this headline and you were the first person I laughed at because you and I both know whoever wrote this, and I'm not going to assume the person's gender by reading their name, but you and I both know that Zim Zat, who wrote that, is very, very, very short. And you know what? You got to compensate for it somehow. Look, I may be bald. I may be obnoxious. I may even be half Italian, but I will never be short.
Well, Daniel Turner, power of the future. What are you having for dinner tonight, Daniel?
I have so much leftovers from New Year's and Christmas that I have to clean out my fridge. So it's a smorgasbord of everything from cheeses and salamis and I don't know, deviled eggs, I'm sure. I got to get rid of all this stuff.
A lot of
entertaining the last couple days, Jesse, but it is great to be on with you at the beginning of 2023.
Daniel Turner, my man, come back soon.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
That reminds me. So the wife, sick as a dog, laid out sick as a dog. Now I need to explain something. I, father of the year, raced home after the studio, after the show last night to give the kids a late dinner. She's just laid out. Now they can take care of themselves, but I wanted to go home. So I went home and I made them bacon and eggs because that's one of the greatest dinners of all time. So I have a frying pan there full of bacon grease. Did I clean it? No, I just said the wife was sick. I didn't clean it. I let it sit there all night. Kids woke up this morning. Wife still laid out sick. I have a frying pan with bacon grease in it. I put that bad boy right on the old burner and cranked it up. And I had 6 or 7 ounces of leftover ribeye because we'd had ribeyes last week, a few days ago. Dropped it right there in the bacon grease, fried them up, reheated ribeye, and then dropped a couple over easy eggs in the bacon grease. None of this would have flied if the wife was out of bed. She, you got to clean that first. Nuh-uh, not in bachelor pad, baby. All right, quit, focus. Why didn't I open the show talking about the Speaker of the House? We're talking about New Jersey wind turbines and stuff. Why am I not talking about the big story today? I will explain why I'm not talking about it next.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Just seemed appropriate with the song, Chris. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. You can email the show if you want. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. That was the great Daniel Turner giving us the skinny on everything. Now I need to give you the skinny on something else. The speaker race. I know you've been following the news. Kevin McCarthy, speaker. Kevin McCarthy loses after the first vote. Jesse, why didn't you open the show? Why didn't you open the show talking about it? Here was McCarthy today.
Yes. We did have an intense conference, and it's intense for a purpose. We have worked for a long time. I've been leader for 4 years. We put forth to the American public a commitment to America. There's times we're going to have to argue with our own members if they're looking at for only positions for themselves, not for the country. For the last 2 months, we worked together as a whole conference to develop rules that empower all members. But we're not empowering certain members over others. Last night, I was...
Just quick pause. Sorry, I don't mean to step in here. Maybe it's me being... I can watch myself turn into my father overnight. Now I yell at the kids for leaving the doors open and lights on and things like that. Like, I can see myself turning into my dad. So maybe that's what this is. I don't want to be 41 going on 81, but... Does anyone else hate that word, empower? Is that not one of the more overused words? He's so empowered. We need to empower him. I'm empowered. When did this become a word? Anyway, go on.
Presented the only way to have 218 votes. If I provided certain members with certain positions, certain gavels, to take over the church committee, to have certain budgets. And they even came to the position where one, Matt Gaetz, said, I don't care if we go to plurality and we elect Hakeem Jeffries and it hurts the new frontline members not to get reelected. Well, that's not about America, and I will always fight to put the American people first, not a few individuals that want something for themselves. So we may have a battle on the floor, but the battle is for the conference and the country, and that's fine with me.
Okay. All right. So what do I think about it? Well, I guess I should give Matt Gaetz a chance to respond, then I'll tell you.
But we were threatened by my committee chairman to be on the Armed Services Committee, Mr. Rogers, that if we did not vote for Mr. McCarthy, we would be removed from committees. Our position is that if Kevin McCarthy is the Speaker of the House and we don't have an ability to ensure that there is oomph behind the agenda and energy behind our oversight, that the committee assignments don't mean that much anyway. I'm not here to participate in some puppet show where we pass a bunch of messaging bills, send them to the Senate, watch them die, fail to use leverage, and don't hold the Biden administration accountable. I don't want to relive the Benghazi experience where it's just theater pretending to be oversight, right? We can do better than that, and that's our purpose today.
Okay. Now, maybe you've been paying attention to this today. I bet you money that every single radio show you've listened to today has talked about this. I bet you every TV show you've watched today has talked about this. They focused on it. It's been the whole focal point of the show. They've probably gone one way or the other. Oh, just call it quits and elect McCarthy. He's the best we can get. Or they've gone the other way. Screw McCarthy. Go ahead and rebel. So let me give you my take on it. I don't care. Well, why would I care? Now, let me explain something. We just had 15 GOP senators vote with the Democratic Party to take away your gun rights. We just had, like 5 minutes ago, we just had 18 Republican senators vote for a $1.7 trillion omnibus bill with more LGBTQ filth in it than you can imagine, no border protection, funded the IRS, increased funding to the DOJ and FBI. Okay, so that's just recently. Well, let's set all that aside. Let's go all the way back to the very beginning. Let's go back to 2016 when we were all high as giraffe. I can't say that on the air. When we were all really high, Trump just got elected. We're feeling good. GOP House, GOP Senate. We got Trump as the president. MAGA baby. Do you have any idea how many Republicans were voting for trillion or close to trillion dollar bills for 4 straight years? And no, it wasn't just when Democrats took the Senate. 4 straight years of huge, swampy spending bills with pork for him and pork for her and pork for them. And who got nothing out of the whole thing? You. You didn't get a daggone thing. So do I want Democrats to get the speakership? No, of course not. But you tell me, I'm all ears. Why should I be emotionally invested in who the Speaker of the House is at all? You don't get to do me wrong time and time and time and time again and then threaten to leave me. If we're dating and you're always leaving your trash laying around the house, I caught you making out with my brother. I don't even have a brother, by the way. I caught you making out with my brother. You emptied out my bank account. Don't come to me the next day and say, boy, if you don't buy me some roses, I'm leaving, and expect me to give a crap. As a Republican, as a Washington, D.C. Republican, don't you dare try to hold Democrat speakership over my head as something I should fret about. Republicans spend as much money in as many disgusting ways as Democrats do. And that's simply a fact in this country. So no, I don't care. And you know how great it feels not to care? You know what I do care about? I care about your school board. Isn't that boring? So boring, isn't it? I care about your city council. I care about the state house. I care about your county. I care about your sheriff. I care about your DA. But until I get a party that's truly anti-communist as I am, because that's what I am. I'm an anti-communist because I understand that defeating communism is all that matters, because if we don't, they'll simply destroy everything. So after that, there is nothing else. Until I get a party in Washington, D.C., that is truly an anti-communist party, that will truly fight against all the endless corruption and filth there, don't ask me to care either way. If I wake up tomorrow morning and I find out Hakeem Jeffries is speaker or Kevin McCarthy is speaker, it's not going to make my heart beat any faster or slower. Don't care. Not at all. And I didn't do that. You did that. Shouldn't have made out with my brother. What, Chris? It's fine. All right. Moving and employment. We have a bunch. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.